Bob Wisher, and I'm the relationship engineer.
So what inspired you to become the relationship engineer?
Well, I've been coaching now for 5 or 6 years, and I have a career in the automotive industry, which spans about 30, and I joined the two together to because I do a lot of relationship building and managing of relationships in my career. And as I realized through coaching and working with men that a lot of it is relationship management, and men need to get a little better at managing their relationships, right?
Can you tell me about your own mental health journey?
Oh, my own? Oh, yeah. So I'll go all the way back. I realized it when I was, I didn't realize it when I was born. I realized it in the last few years, but when I was born, my parents were not married yet. Or when I was conceived, my parents were not yet married. And what I've learned is that when that type of stress and anxiety and whatever else was going on in my parents' lives at that time, when they found out that that I was coming, obviously there's scrambling and things going on and life changing and priorities being changed to accommodate that coming. My dad was in college at the time. His goal was to play professional baseball, and he had to give all that up. My mom never got to go to college at that point. Became a full-time mom. What I've learned that does to an infant brain at that point is to make meaning of the fact that, oh wow, I'm not wanted. I'm not, you know, I wasn't planned. I wasn't, you know, it wasn't intended for me to be here. The whole I'm an accident thing, and what that does to somebody's identity at that point, your beliefs and identity at that point, is make you think, even just subconsciously, not consciously, but subconsciously, it's always running in the background, right? That I'm not wanted. I don't belong here. So every time as I went through elementary school and high school and college, through all of those periods of my life, I was always feeling like I didn't belong. You know, I always felt like I was the fifth wheel in a group. People weren't calling me to say, hey, let's go do something. It was always me reaching out or me having to try to coordinate things and get things going. Whereas, in other cases, usually relationships like that are a two-way street, right? And it always felt to me like in my life, I was the one putting myself out there. People weren't, bringing me in. And I always felt like an odd man out. So what that did was basically it impacted a lot of areas of my life, my marriage, eventually my mental health. I battled with some depression through the latter years of my first marriage. I used to sit at the dining room table with my head in my hands, just staring at my plate because I had trouble even just communicating with my now ex-wife and my kids. Just felt lost. And what that did for me was help me to realize that something was drastically wrong, and I had to figure some things out. And I kept seeing advertisements for high performance men's coaching, and I dove in. I took the leap of faith, so to speak, because obviously coaching is not cheap. I felt like it was something I needed to do, and it was the best decision I ever made, because not only did I get connected with myself through that process, I found my purpose, which was to express and inspire love and wellness to others, and become a coach myself, and then start a men's group that's thriving currently. We help men kind of get from where I was to at least that starting point of feeling like I do belong to something. I do belong, whether it's to the group or to, you know, and you're just in a relationship with somebody to have, you know, whether it's friendship or, you know, being able to go out and do things. You know, we go out, we do different various events. We do hiking events. We do, you know, sporting kind of like, it's called whirly ball here, where you get in a go-kart and you throw a little ball. Anyway, just giving men ability and opportunity to connect in a non-threatening way. And it's been awesome. And then, of course, you know, developing my business and one-on-one coaching has been amazing too, because we can go deeper into helping you figure out what those things were, maybe what those traumas were that, like I mentioned with my birth story, to be able to go into those types of things and help you root those out and heal those or modify those beliefs and heal those wounds and things that people have that hold them back from being able to achieve what it is they feel like they want to achieve.
What is the process like with helping men?
What's the process like? Well, it depends. It depends on what the man's looking for. Actually, I've had some pretty good realizations recently that there's men are at kind of different levels. obviously, there's the man who I was, when I was battling the depression, going through, you know, a divorce and a non-ideal marriage, which tends to be pretty common anymore, that marriages are going sideways. You know, so there's that man. Then there's the man that wakes up to, oh my God, I'm running on a hamster wheel. Excuse me. Running on a hamster wheel, I'm just doing the same thing over and over every day. I go to work, I come home, I go to work, I come home, I go to work, I come home. And realizes that there's more to life than just going to work and coming home and maybe having a family or building a family, and yeah, that's great and that's important, but that's not everything. And that's what I came to realize as I was going through my divorce. My kids were aging out of high school, going out of college, and all of a sudden I realized I've got is this job that I do every day, and that's great. It keeps a roof over my head and food on the table, but it doesn't fulfill me. It doesn't fill my cup. I'm not contributing to society, their community, in any way, shape, or form. So then men will come to that realization. They'll realize they need to connect, and that's kind of step one. And then what I'm looking for is the man that's kind of beyond that step now, a man that wants to, you know, do anything and everything he can to find a way to achieve that. You know, that, you know, how we have that burning thing inside us that says, you know, whether it's I want to be an entrepreneur, or I want to be a great father, or I want to be an astronaut, or whatever it is you want to be, we all have that burning thing inside of us as men. And I want to help men achieve that. I want to help men both find that, find what it is, and then achieve it.
Have you seen the men you work with confidence level rise as they go through the process?
Yeah, absolutely. One man, just I keep telling this story because it's incredible. He's been a part of the group for years, and has struggled and been trying. You know, doing work and trying. You know, in a comfortable way for him, right? Not going 100 miles an hour, but, you know, just making progress, a little progress at a time. And a few weeks ago, he actually admitted to me that he had a very significant trauma in his life when he was young, and he's finally opened up to admit that's what happened. And he's been holding this back for a while, but it took him. You know, again, all men are in different places. It took him a little longer to realize that getting that out and getting out from behind, or getting out from underneath that shame that he felt because of that situation, is going to help him immensely moving forward. There's so many stories like that where men, they come and they get that connection and they realize, I'm not the only one that's going through this, whether it's addiction or men going through divorce and you know, where their wives leave them or turn their backs on them or whatever, make them feel less masculine. Whatever it is in that realm, men figuring that out and realizing that they're not the only ones that are going through this, and then we have somebody else that we can talk to, it's been extremely powerful and fulfilling for the men that are part of it.
How has talking to people within the program help your own healing process?
It's reinforcement, really. I've learned, I think, everything I need to learn about myself and my traumas and my issues, but helping another man with something similar is very reinforcing for me. It helps keep me grounded, helps keep me on top of my game and knowing what I need to do, because there's a certain number of things that I need to do every day, like meditation and prayer and reading certain things, you know, mantras and stories and things that I read every single day that keep my mind tuned, keep me focused on what it is that I want to do and what I want to accomplish in life. And being able to do those things and talk to other people about them helps it keep reinforced in my mind how important it really is to just keep doing those things, even though, oh man, I don't really feel like doing this today, but doing it anyway, because usually when I don't do it, that's when I call it getting squirrely. I'll start getting a little squirrely, and then until I, you know, maybe the next day comes and I do all my actual protocol stuff, that I feel alive and able to share and contribute again to the rest of the world.
What do you do to help your own mental health?
Lots of things. Like I said, meditation, prayer, exercise. Exercise is probably the biggest one for me for my mental health. I get very squirrely if I don't get a workout in a day two or three go by. If I don't get a workout in, my wife will even tell me, hey, when's the last time you worked out? You're getting a little off kilter. And that to me is the number one. And obviously the daily stretching every day, meditation, mindfulness, visualization, all those things, gratefulness actually, probably number two on the list. Gratefulness practice I've been doing since 2017. Every single day since 2017, at least three things I'm grateful for every single day has made a huge, huge difference. I don't even like talking about negative. If somebody starts a conversation with me about something negative and maybe it's the elections or something, right? And people start talking about, I don't want to talk about that stuff. Anything like that in that realm that takes my energy away. I'm very resistant to it. I don't want to go down that road. I'll try to get myself out of those conversations as quickly as possible.
What would you say to any man going through a tough time?
You're not alone. Absolutely, you're not alone. There are men every day that are struggling to keep their head up, keep their spirits up. And my advice, my recommendation to that man is to get connected, whether it's with a friend you can trust. I know a lot of men struggle to make friends, but there's always a way, first of all, whether it's finding a local men's group, going to a local meetup. Maybe there, a lot of the guys that participate in my group go to other meetups around the area. They go hiking, they go kayaking, play cards, do other things, go dance. One guy loves dancing. He goes to all these dancing meetups. But just to get out and be able to do things and interact with other people, build friendships, make connections, and then get to a point where you can talk to somebody honestly and openly. Don't be talking about the local sports teams. Don't be talking about, politics and the weather and all that other stuff. Talk about serious feelings. Talk about what are you feeling? What are you going through? And one of my favorite phrases, And I think I made this up, but I'm not sure. I may have heard it somewhere. I don't know, but it's one of my favorites. It's shame shrivels in the sunlight. And that basically that the meaning of that is if you have, what, like I said about the one man, if you have a trauma, something that you went through in your life, maybe it's super embarrassing or feels embarrassing, whatever, to be able to talk to somebody about that and be vulnerable enough to share that with at least one other person that can be there for you. And, you know, maybe they don't need to give you advice. They don't need to even talk. They just need to be there for you and absorb that empathetically. And it helps getting it by getting it out in the sunlight. It helps it lessen, you know, the lessen the power of it that it has over our mind that keeps us held back.
I saw on your website that you're also a writer. What is it like getting your thoughts onto the page?
That's a new thing. I wouldn't say I'm a writer per se yet. I'm working towards it. I'm writing. I just downloaded the final version this morning. I had somebody working on the formatting of it. I wrote a short ebook. It's called The 5 Blatant Lies That Most Men Believe and What to Do About It. So that's going to be going live on my website here as soon as I do all the behind the scenes things of linking it, trying to figure out how to when people go to the website and click the button that it actually gets to them. Not my forte with technical stuff, but I've figured it out before. I need to update it. But I'm excited about that. I wrote the blog the other day that really talks about my MVP program that I've created and what the benefits of that program are. Increasing connection, strengthening alignment, and nailing down your purpose are probably the big three. So I'm excited about that. And then I'm also trying to write a book, working on it. Actually, that one's a little farther down the road, but working on a book to basically demonstrate to any man or I guess even a woman, if they wanted to start a local group of like-minded people for themselves and how that can help and what that looks like and how I went about it and how I was successful with it. And I got very lucky. Some planets aligned for me, and I just feel like now I need to share that wisdom, because like my wife now has taught me that we as humans need to be rivers instead of lakes, meaning we need to let information and things flow through us instead of just holding them, you know, as a lake where we're not, things aren't moving around. So somebody told me yesterday I should have her put that on t-shirts, so I figured I might as well throw it out there.
Where do you want to see your mission, say, in the next 3 to 5 years?
Ooh, next 3 to 5 years? I'm in the process, too, of creating. I want to create another layer. Like I mentioned, men I see go in stages where they're kind of just getting out of the rut of, hey, I need to do something different. And that's really where my current group is at. I want to have a next step. A group that's kind of at a next level of men that, okay, I know I need to move forward. I know I want to move forward, but I don't want to go. You know, I don't want to go the full. You know, maybe I can't afford a big coaching package or something like that. I want to have an intermediate space for men that we can come together as a group and work together. I've kind of got some rough things out on paper, so that's probably my next thing that's coming soon is just a community where we're a handful of men. My current group is also too big to be able to do that, so we don't really. It's difficult to do finer work, I guess I'll say, in a large group of people. So I want to be able to have it be a little more succinct and focused on the particular issues that the men in the group are having. So that's coming soon. I've just started to work on that actually in the last couple days as well. So excited about that.